The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Well, welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. Looking ahead to the action on Monday. It comes to you from Windsor, Pontefract and Plumpton, and Racing Radio will be live from 1:30 in the afternoon. Dave Kellner, Ollie Pimlott and Paddy Aspel will be guiding you through all the afternoon's action, hopefully pointing you in the direction of a few winners as well. But for now on the podcast, my name's John Gibby and I'm joined by the good Lord himself, John Budden. John, how's it going?
Oh yeah, pretty well really, John. I think it's pretty windy at Southall this afternoon, but otherwise in good shape.
Yes, it's been quite windy the last few days, hasn't it? There were a couple of issues. They forced an inspection at Foss Lass on Saturday, in fact, the high winds.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. You know, Storm Brian was meant to sweep through the country and was not quite as severe as it might have been. Certainly not where I live in Cumbria. We had a fairly quiet 2 days.
Well, the action comes from Windsor, Pontefract and Plumpton on Monday, John. And as usual on the podcast, we'll start off by hearing your nap and next best selections for the day's racing. So where did your nap run?
My nap run's in the Stayers race of Ponte in the 450.
Not a bad race this one, is it? It's only the five going to post-trip, but we've got some quality horses here.
Yeah, I thought it was a competitive little race, and as you say, only five going to post, but open, and I think the betting will be quite open too. If you go down from the top, we've got Minotaur, who's certainly in the race with every chance, has been quite busy during the summer, not necessarily on the flat, ran though on the flat last time out, and was fourth at Leicester behind Blakeney Point. Could go well at the top. I very much fear, because it's not going to be my selection, Sugio. I think Sugio has been running in better type of staying races than this, and was a good third last time out, and he has been showing form, as I say, in better grades than this particular one. And my only fear, if I was a Sugio real supporter, is that he's had a busy season and it might be that he is just a little bit over the top.
Yeah, not only busy, but he's taken in races such as the Northumberland Plate. He also ran in the Ascot Stakes at Royal Ascot as well. As you mentioned, some of the top staying handicaps of the season we've seen him turn up in.
Oh, John, he's in better class altogether. There is no question about that. And if Sugio is, up to the form that he was in the middle of the season, he's going to be very, very hard to beat in this particular race. But I often think round about this time that you are looking for horses who are coming, perhaps, to their peak, even if their peak is fairly modest. And you've got two who are certainly running well at the moment. La Fritillaire, for example, has been very consistent over the last couple of occasions, likes Ponte, no question about that, but was beaten by Madame Lilibet, who was a triumph for Budden about a fortnight ago, behaved amazingly mulishly, could hardly be persuaded to get onto the course, but once she got onto the course, she ran very well, Madame Lilibet, and La Fritillaire went with her, turning for home, but couldn't quicken on the run to the line, finished third, and in second place is the horse I thought who would run very well in this race, and that was Tuscan Gold. A long time ago, I think Tuscan Gold with Sir Mark Prescott, but has been with Mickey Hammond for a long while, regular in this sort of race, and it struck me after a long time in the wilderness that Tuscan Gold was coming back to winning form. There was a terrible moment when Madame Lilibet went about three lengths clear, turning for home at Ponte, that Tuscan Gold was going to come and catch her in the last sort of first strides or so. Wasn't quite true, but Tuscan Gold was doing all the best work in the last furlong, and I thought that a repetition of that run could see Mickey Hammond stay winning for the first time this season. So Tuscan Gold is the nap in the 4:55.
Tuscan Gold and the Fritillaire you've just mentioned there are the two with course form to their name here, and
I always feel personally that Cool Swarm at Pontefract is something that can be a bit underrated. You know, compared to some tracks, it's not always brought up as a factor at this venue. But the way it's set up, especially like they run down the side almost towards you, then turn up for a relatively short run up towards the line. And I just feel you need a certain type of horse to do that.
Yes, you do. And, La Fritillaire and Tuscan Gold are very much Pontefract regulars. And certainly Tuscan Gold has won his last two or three races here, and he loves the track. And as I say, I thought last time out he was beginning to show that he was on the right mark and that there could be a similar win for him coming up. I hope it's going to be on Monday.
Tuscan Gold, the nap selection of John Budden, runs in the 450 at Pontefract. And what about your next best?
Well, that's in the 520, of course, and they're getting nicely in chronological order. This is a minefield, but then I rather like minefields, John. I always have done. And particularly 5 furlong minefields at Ponte in what's likely to be fairly soft ground, although I don't think it'll be as soft as many of the tracks have produced over the past 10 days or so. Carl Burke's been in great shape. There's no doubt about that. And Tahu represents him. And Tahu was a good winner last time out, beating Bahamian Sunrise. Has a 6-pound penalty for that, but nevertheless acts here at Pontefract and looks to be in very decent form. So Tahu cannot be dismissed. Then we have Royal Brave, who perhaps needs a win. But nevertheless, the stable of Rebecca Basterman had been going pretty well. And Royal Brave was far from disgrace last time out at York, close up behind East Street Review, and it could easily go a couple better. Then old favourites in this race, of course, My Name Is Rio. Didn't really run up to form last time out at Carlisle, but likes Ponte. I think could do with a bit of overnight rain. I wouldn't want the ground to dry out too much when my name is Rio. Houphalon surely has had his day. Grand old horse, Houphalon, and has done, you know, far better races in his profile than this one, but was, I think, Stone Bonkers last, 13th last time.
I beat one horse home.
Oh, you beat one horse home.
Beaten 19 lengths, so might as well have been last.
So I think Houphalon, you know, can surprise, and I wouldn't write him off completely, but the danger to Tahu, in my view, is Eccleston. Now, Eccleston is something of a quirky individual, John, and that's putting it mildly. And not many horses improve when they come from David O'Meara's stable to go elsewhere.
Often it's the other way around, isn't it?
Yes, it tends to be the other way around. But Eccleston is a decent sprinter, and he's now with Julie Camacho, who, you know, is pretty fly at getting prospects from other stables into winning form. Has run once, Eccleston, for Julie Camacho, and didn't run particularly well. I think that was at Haydock and finished well behind. But this horse has a mind of its own, and were Eccleston to be in a very good mood, I could see Joe Doyle producing the horse late and Eccleston perhaps winning at quite a decent price. But on form, I've got to go for the top one, Tahu, who I think has got the ability to defy that 6-pound penalty.
Tahu for Ben Curtis and Carl Burke. Carries a 6-pound penalty. That is the selection of John Budden and the 520 at Pontefract. His next best for the day's racing. Now, it's all very well enjoying the action at Windsor, Pontefract and Plumpton, John, but we've got to look back at what happened at Ascot on Saturday. Champions Day, of course. Now, we'll talk about a couple of the individual performances, but first of all, I believe we're 5 years now into Champions Day, is that correct? I think this was the fifth renewal, if you like, of the day. This is an initiative brought in to kind of create a finale to the flat season. Overall, do you think it's been a success?
I would have to say overall it probably has been a success, John. Yes, they were lucky, of course, to begin with because they had Frankel, who got the show off to a really fantastic start. I would say yesterday, overall, produced some really excellent racing, very good horses indeed. So on that particular overall view, you would have to say it has been a success, and yesterday was a big success, and it did seem that there was a tremendous atmosphere in the place, a lot of music going on and other sort of on-course but off-track entertainments which seemed to be keeping the day bowling along, and certainly those people who were interviewed, you know, came out saying they'd had a wonderful time. And the standard of the racing was excellent. Of course, I'm a traditionalist, and I would far prefer the Champion Stakes still to be run, for example, at Newmarket, where I'm convinced that the going would be far better. And the race, to a certain extent, traditionally a Newmarket race, would benefit from a return. But that's not going to happen. So overall, I would say it was a success, John.
Yeah, it's interesting how these things sometimes generationally are looked at differently, because you know, because you would remember the Champion Stakes being at Newmarket for, well, almost your whole life, whereas I can scarcely remember the Champion Stakes being at Newmarket at all.
No, that's very true, John. Yeah,
6 years ago.
True. Yeah. And I think as a result, it is a success. One always slightly worries about the timing, because it can be very sort of testing and soft at Ascot at the end of the season. But they got away with that yesterday. They even got away with the gale force wind.
Yeah.
Nobody could say the racing was anything but tremendously exciting and of a very high quality.
Well, we'll pick up on a couple of the individual performances, and we've got to start with Cracksman, of course, in the Champion Stakes. Absolutely blew them away, John. We've spoken about Cracksman on this podcast before, you and I, but he looks like he could be the real deal next year.
Well, I'm convinced he is the real deal. I'm absolutely astonished that KP didn't nap him yesterday, because he'd been banging on about Cracksman since the early part of the spring. But I thought John Gosden has, you know, trained this horse absolutely splendidly throughout the season. A number of people upset that he didn't run in the arc, but Enabel was there, so, well, you know, don't confuse the issue. And Cracksman, I couldn't understand, John, why some pundits, even those on the splendid ITV show, were again Cracksman, talking about coming back in trip and that sort of thing. Would Cracksman act on the ground and so on? And of course, he was very disappointing in the early part of the season. Well, I've said this before on podcasts. I don't think he was disappointing early in the season. Perhaps he didn't run as well as expected in the Derby, but that can always be the case, that a fairly inexperienced horse is finding Epsom difficult. The Derby, obviously, a very, very high-class contest, and didn't get a very good run, but had won at Epsom the time before, beating Mark Johnston's Dante Stakes later winner, Permian, you see. So that was decent form. I thought very unlucky not to win the Irish Derby myself, ran very well, and extremely well at York. I thought he had a grand chance yesterday, and I was not surprised to see him come right away in the closing stages, and a match between Cracksman and Enabel in the King George, for example, next year is a mouth-watering prospect.
Yeah, we'll look forward to that. Sort of a happy dilemma for John Gosden and Frankie Dettori, especially for Frankie having to decide which one to ride in the race.
Absolutely. And, you know, Frankie Dettori, you can't talk about him having had an Indian summer, but nevertheless, he has been in tremendous form. And, you know, horses still run for him remarkably well. And, you know, he rode, I thought, Cracksman splendidly. He was obviously confident that the horse would stay the trip, but asked him to quicken and just let him roll and bowl along in front. So well done to him. And he was also, of course, extremely good on Persuasive.
Well, I was going to say, more success for Gosden and Dettori with Persuasive in the QE2 about 35 minutes earlier. Interesting to see Ribchester and Churchill, both multiple Group 1 winners this season, obviously be beaten not that far by this horse. Do you think it's a case of the two market principles, or two of the market principles, being over the top for the season, or do you think this is just a big prize that Persuasive has been waiting to land?
I tend to think the latter, that it was a big prize that Persuasive had been waiting for. The filly had run very decently last time out and in, you know, high-class company, and was, you know, favorably treated, not just at the allowance stage, so to speak, the weights, but also goes very well on the ground. And it was the last race of Persuasive's career, and perhaps one should have taken that into account a little bit more, in that almost certainly Connections would have been desperate to get a really good run out of Persuasive and hopefully a win, which they got, and Persuasive was excellent. I was a bit disappointed in Churchill, but then I had been the time before. I've not been a great Churchill supporter after the first two runs of the season.
No, I've been the same, yeah.
And I thought Churchill ran a decent race. Ribchester, it was a bit disappointing because I thought he got the race one about a furlong and a half out. And then he just sort of wavered a bit in front and didn't quite go through with the finishing effort. But it was another sound race, and I hope that Richard Fahey and Godolphin will allow the horse to run again next year.
That really would be an exciting prospect against some other top miners who could be around about as well. In terms of the other three races on the day, John, or other than the Balmoral Handicap, the other three group races, of course, we had the Champion Sprint, the Fillies and Mares, and the Long Distance Cup. We're a little bit short of time, but of those three races, we saw Order and St. George, the Breeze of Breeze, and Hydrangea win those three contests. Which one of those was the most taking for you?
The Hydrangea. I thought Hydrangea ran really well. Nicely taken on the outside by Ryan Moore. But she stuck to it really stoutly. And when you consider the number of what you might say hard, inverted comma, races that Hydrangea has had over the past sort of 6 weeks or so, I thought she was terrific. But if you just got a moment to go, the last race wasn't group. But my goodness, we saw a horse there, Lord Glitters, David O'Mara, and Danny Tudhope, last to first. And it wasn't just last to first. I mean, the distance and the acceleration showed by Lord Glitters in the last furlong of that race, splendidly ridden by Danny Tudhope, one, in my view, of the best jockeys around, was sensational. And cost 270,000 guineas in the same colours as Mondelez, and I would imagine will do just as well as Mondelez in the future.
Yeah, 3-1 favourites won the handicap in the end. It always seems to be these big field handicaps that the favourites, you know, they find some trouble in running, or they can't quite quicken in the closing stages. But he has really put them to the sword.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he was an eye-catcher first time out, of course, when just beaten. He showed a tremendous change of gear. And I think he, you know, group horse masquerading in a handicap, in my view.
Well, that was British Champions Day. Of course, you heard it all live on William Hill's Racing Radio. The action may be not quite so highly graded on Monday. Comes from Windsor Pontefract and Plumpton. But I'm sure you'll enjoy it all the same. Remember, it's live from 1:30. And John, thanks for joining me on the podcast today.
No, a great privilege to be here, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.